531. Joining us now for our fortnightly updates on all the happenings across our Pasifika diaspora, the Minister for Pacific Peoples, the Honourable Aupito Toi Sulusulto Faisua William Seo, Maroso Ifuola Afionga, Minister, and thank you as always for your time.
Hey, Brian.
Okay then, so this week, very, very busy for you. The Ministry for Pacific Peoples have been holding regional funnels across the country. Tell us more.
Well, we started off a couple of weeks ago with that nationwide Zoom funnel where we had over 600 people register for that. That was bringing our leadership, our church, our community, our health provider leadership, and connecting them up with our Pacific experts so that they were receiving information that was important for our communities to feel confident, be empowered about the rollout of the vaccine this year. And so this week, it was important to have regional meetings where it's a lot more intimate, where people can have a general discussion. They could ask questions of our Pacific experts, of our ministry officials from health, as well as some of our providers, and also MSD, because even though we're talking health, we also want to make sure our people are getting the right information about the kind of financial support that's available from MSD. And those regional meetings have been really, really good. Auckland, Monday, we had the Wellington on Tuesday, Wednesday, Waikato region. Last night, we had the upper part of the South Island. And tonight, we'll have the lower Southland in Bakago. But then we've also had the specific language meetings. Samoa Tonga, Niue Cook Island, Tokelau, Tuvalu. Last night, we had Kiribati and Rotuma, and of course, we'll have Fiji. And what that is designed to do is to build the bridges of understanding, have our leadership be empowered. Those young people that have attended, I know the feedback has been really, really positive. That's not the end of it, though, Brian. You know, I've asked the ministry, we need to make these Zoom meetings as a regular part of our engagement process. And that's in addition, of course, to the radio programs that you guys fantastically roll out, and I really appreciate the collaborative effort by PMN, all the messages coming out from our Prime Minister, our TV ads, our social media ads, what's available up on COVID-19government.gov.nz, but also we're supporting organizations on the ground like Cause Collective, like the South Seas Healthcare. You know, we're contracting Pacifica Futures to make sure that they're reaching out, not just providing the food parcels and that support, but also providing correct information. And ultimately, as I've said to our communities in these funnels, we are on this journey together. This whole year is the year of the vaccine. COVID vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, the flu vaccine. And I don't want our people to be left without that information, because I want to make sure that we're all on this waka together. Our destination is by the end of the year, everybody would have been vaccinated. We are safe and alive, and we can start talking about traveling the Pacific region.
Mm. Talking about vaccinations as well, Minister, in full swing now with over half of the border workforce now vaccinated. So how long do you see before, you know, we're getting into our communities? How far away are we looking in terms of like weeks?
Oh, yeah. I think you've seen that the our border workers in particular, because those are the people that are laying their bodies on the line day in, day out to make sure that we're preventing the virus from escaping the borders and turning up at our communities. So we've done Auckland, we've vaccinated Wellington, Christchurch, then Waikato. I think we're almost finished from the latest report of all that border worker, quarantine worker. We've also rolled it out to our frontline workers, Those are the health professionals, our pharmaceuticals, GP's office, our security people who are having to do any of this face-to-face healthcare. They are now being rolled out to be vaccinated. Again, we'll go up and down the country. I think by the 8th of March, we're anticipating that we then vaccinate the families of the border workers, their household. And so we're on track in our plan. Broadly, the plan was frontline border workers was tier one, most vulnerable tier two, and then the rest of the country at that tier three. But within those tiers, obviously, are different layers and categories of workers. And so government prime minister will make more announcements as to who in the next tier would we be looking at. But we have to align that work in the rollout. Each of those district health board obviously have to plan setting up, standing up your vaccination centers. And obviously we want to make sure where there's high population in Pacific that those vaccination centers are at venues where our people are know and are comfortable and confident with. And so that this whole year, we've got to roll that out. And we have to align that also with the, as we receive the batches of vaccines from overseas. So 60,000 doses, then we got 76,000 doses. By the end of March, we will have about 450,000 doses of Pfizer. And so because we're using two, that's about 225,000 people that we've got to look after. So we're on track. I'm fairly comfortable with where things are based on the advice. And I've, in those Zoom meetings, I am asking our communities, particularly in the regions, where we know sometimes the communication isn't as great between the DHBs and our communities. And if they are struggling with just being getting notice or being part of those solutions and the rollout plans, they should escalate it with my office, and I'll make sure I can reach out to the right people and just ask them to please be aware of those issues.
Now, a new initiative from the government supporting Pacifica communities to become community housing providers. Tell us more about that, please, Minister.
So in the budget 2020, we sought funding to help our communities start planning to own their own home. And so the funding that we got was $41.3 million over 4 years. And that was important because we need to work together to lift Pacific home ownership. Once upon a time, Pacific home ownership was above 40% during the 70s. And then over several decades, it's declined. And there's sometimes government policies don't facilitate, don't encourage that. And I think Pacific home ownership is hovering at 16% at the moment. We've got to get back onto that track. And I really want to work for to staircase our communities to owning their own home. The feedback I got in the engagement was our Pacific peoples identified financial literacy as a key component of taking the first steps towards planning financially to own their own home. So the money that we're releasing now is part of a long-term plan where I want community groups to apply for this funding so that they are running financial literacy courses, that they can provide tools to help our community acknowledge good debt, bad debt, get out of debt, acknowledge the fact that if you've got a deposit, let's look at what else is available for them. I know that when Whakatautua had this contract last time, they had produced some wonderful tools and a template for running these courses. So I'm anticipating that Whakatautua works across the country in partnership but with these groups, but I'm really wanting our groups to lead this work. So that's the first part. The other part is I'm also releasing money because we don't have enough Pacific community housing providers. And at the moment, our communities are seeking housing support through mainstream organizations, which we're grateful for, and it's always important that they're part of that. But often our communities are saying, we want customized solutions for themselves and people that can deal with them in the languages and understand the context of those challenges. So we've only got one community housing provider. We're looking for somebody to work across our communities to establish and support others. There have been others who have come forward, but they need help and support. So that's what that was about. I want our communities to start owning their own solutions and to plan long-term for financial security, financial freedom. And one of the things that can achieve that long-term is for our communities to own their own home. And we've got to make sure there's wraparound support in that. And I'll be working closely with my other ministerial colleagues to just provide support to this work.
And finally, Minister, very important day coming up on Monday, March the 8th, International Women's Day.
Absolutely. And I'm really pleased to see that more and more of our own Pacific women are taking the lead in the discussions. And I know we've done our part as a government by supporting Pacific women in leadership roles. I'm particularly mindful that Dr. Saidi Malo, Carolina, who is the High Human Rights EEO Commissioner, she's been leading really important work about making sure that our women are getting equal pay for equal work. And that's important. I noticed around the Pacific region, we've got Leituala Kuinselani Tango, who is the director of Polynesia, who works for the South Pacific community. You know, she's written an article today highlight that it's about tautua, its ability to serve our communities. And I'm particularly pleased because I'm dealing with her on a number of things, and I have responsibility also for the SBC. But I think it's wonderful that I'm seeing so many young people come forward, young women. Frankly, our women, as we've always known, lead the way. I think men's role here is to get out of the way and basically support them. But our women and our young girls do exceptionally well. And I'm just mindful that they're smarter, they're more, and they're receiving all these accolades in terms of qualifications. But I gently just ask our young generation coming through just to be mindful also of our cultural values. Those cultural values will protect you. Those cultural values will give you resilience. Those cultural values will give you confidence about your own sense of belonging, your own sense of identity. And those stories that are captured in our languages, if they really dig deep into those stories, they'll see that throughout the Pacific, it has been women that has been leading our nations, whether it be Hawaii, or Samoa with Salama Sina, or in Tonga, or in French Polynesia. You look at that history, it's a history where our women, powerful women who have been the queens of the region, that's a part of history that the colonial powers decided to try and destroy, I believe, in my own mind. And I think we've got to embrace those stories and hold it up. And it's a wonderful thing to see more and more women involved. And we need more of them at all levels, not only at the political level, in the business level, in the various boards and governance. We're seeing that in Auckland with Limonga, obviously, that's chairing our local board, Lotu on the other side, Josephine Bartley at the council level. You're seeing also that in cabinet, but we just need more. In the privileged position I'm at, as I move about, I'm always amazed and in awe when I see our women step up, and particularly in business, particularly in the science area. Those are the two areas which I think we need to really encourage more of our people, and women will lead the way in my mind.
The Minister for Pacific Peoples, the Honourable Aupito Toisulsul to Faisu'a William Seal. Always a pleasure to speak with you, Minister. And just a note for our next session, if you can let whoever in the background know to start making your dinner after our talanoa, that would be good. So I didn't know it takes so long to make your keto meal, but yes, okay then. Ye manuia, and God bless. We'll catch up again. Yeah, la saifua.